This is what gives their lives meaning. Making sure it's all in order. Making sure that, you know, the uncertainties are taken care of. Making sure that all the contingencies are met. And they do this. They order their lives around very clear principles. These are very practical people. They're typically rather disciplined. They love organization. I'm not one of those. But I'll talk about what I am in a minute. And these are the folks, I call them principled souls. And even the sins that they struggle primarily with in their life really go hand in hand with that personality. People who are built like this, order their lives around principles and are concerned with order and consistency, typically have a great struggle with sins like anger. The things that get in the way of the order, the people that get in the way of the order and constancy of their lives. They struggle with a desire for control. They struggle with, as I said, uncertainty. They don't like uncertainty. They work real hard to cover all the bases for every possible thing that might happen. That's the first group. The rest of the folks are what I've come to label again for myself, passionate hearts. Now, I use the term passionate there not in terms of sinful desires that we have to struggle with. Now, I'm using passionate in a more positive sense of simply just the capacity to feel things very deeply. That's what I mean when I say passionate heart. Rather than order and consistency, what these people search for and seek is a sense of emotional fulfillment. They're not so concerned about consistency as they are with intimacy. Their lives aren't ordered so much around principles as they are around relationships. They're typically not very practical. They struggle with discipline. And if they're organized at all, it's very selective. They have one little area of their life where they keep things very, very organized, and the rest of it just is... Now see, I see lots of smiles. You're identifying with these people, aren't you? That's good. Now the sins with which these people typically struggle are sins of the flesh. Lust, impure thoughts, gluttony. You know, unlike their principled soul counterparts, they're not really afraid of uncertainty or losing control. Because bottom line is, there's something sort of emotionally stimulating about uncertainty. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. What they do fear, and the bane of their life, is really this tremendous need to please everyone. Because what they are fearful of is losing relationships. Now, I've never met anyone that I couldn't, you know, after spending a short amount of time with them, put into one of those groups. I've even seen these two personality types vividly evidenced in the scriptures. St. Paul, very much a principled soul. His life was governed by principles before he ever became a Christian. He was moved by what was right. And if you're looking for someone to found the Christian church among the Gentiles, that's a good kind of personality to go to. King David is on the other side. A passionate heart. A poet. Who'd rather do nothing else than sing the praises of God. You know, I'm not the first person who's ever made these observations and distinctions. And I know it's very common, for instance, in our society, and Father mentioned it this morning. I hear these distinctions lots of times being drawn along gender lines. You know, like men are practical thinkers and women are feelers. You know, there are certainly many, many ways in which personality traits are connected with gender. But when it comes to motivation, I don't think that's accurate. I know just as many men who are passionate hearts as I know women who are passionate hearts. I know just as many women who are principled souls as men. My wife is a great principled soul, which is fortunate because I'm very much a passionate heart. If you know me for long, you'll find out there's hardly a practical bone in my body. But you know what? That's good. Because I've never seen a godly Christian marriage. And this is true of all the priestly couples that I know, that didn't contain one of each. What do you think about that? But that has been an absolutely consistent observation that I've made over time. Maybe a few exceptions. But it makes sense. It makes sense that God, in trying to bring us back to oneness, would pair us with people like that. Because we can learn from each other's strengths. We can help each other with each other's weaknesses. You know, I even, when I became Orthodox, and I began to learn theological things that I hadn't ever known before, I saw evidence of this, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what we know happened to us in the fall. The fragmentation of the human psyche. As Father mentioned this morning, that fragmentation of the will, of reason, of the emotions. Well, it makes sense that you would have personality types that would sort of gravitate out with each of those. Sort of a more objective personality type versus a more feeling personality type. But we know that God's goal for each of our souls is the reintegration of those parts of us. And I've seen him do that. I watch him do that all the time in marriages. When you have a passionate heart married to a principled soul, if they both yield their lives to God and allow the grace of God to work within their union, you begin to get that reintegration. You have one member of the couple whose orientation is to intimacy, one whose orientation is to constancy and consistency. Think about that. Perfect constancy and perfect intimacy. What does that describe? Who does that describe? God, the Trinity. That's what God wants for every marriage. A marriage that reflects His life. And especially He longs for that in the lives of those who have been called to minister the truth. And so He brings us together and we find ourselves in this incredible crucible of transformation. Just from living with one another. And if we're faithful and fortunate, we begin to discover how our spouse's strengths speak to our weaknesses. For instance, as I said, if I'm a passionate heart, which I am, I struggle with sins of the flesh. You know, what do I really need to struggle against that? I need my wife's sense of discipline. I need her sense of just a firm commitment to the principle of purity. That's what I need. My wife, the principled soul, struggles with anger. What she needs is my sense of relationship. It's not important whether that person does what you need them to do or not. What's important is that you have love between you. That's all that's important. And as she embraces that, she finds strength for her struggle with anger. But you know, there's something more simple and beautiful about this relationship of husbands and wives, and particularly husbands and wives in ministry. that's deeper and even more simple than yes, your strengths are going to speak to my weaknesses. My strengths are going to speak to your weaknesses. And I had this simple, profound thing illustrated to me just this morning in my hotel room. I was getting ready to come here, and I looked around my hotel room, and as my wife would say, Matthew, you could see that you'd been there. I just took a look at my toiletries, you know, my hairbrush, my toothpaste, my toothbrush, you know, my aftershave, a towel, a soap. They were strung from one end of the motel room to the other. You know, I looked at that, and I found myself gathering them all up, bringing them over to the vanity table there by the sink, placing them right up against the back, toothpaste and hairbrush all pointing in the same direction. But it struck me, probably because I was thinking about this talk, what's going on there? Alice wasn't there to scold me. It's a hotel room, for goodness sake. Who's going to mind? So why did I do that? It's for the simple reason that for one very profound and very spiritual moment in my day, I made the choice to be her and not me. That's all. Why? Because I love her. Why? Because being one with her is important. The most important thing in the world to me. I emptied myself of my disorganization simply for the sake of love for her. That's all. That's all. That's everything. That's everything. That's an experience of the life of God. Those simple acts in my marriage and in your marriage as ministers of Christ, these are the imprint of the life of the Holy Trinity. In you. God intends every marriage to experience this transformation, this growing into oneness. But see, in the place that He has called you, to which He has called you, your growing together in oneness has such broad ramifications. Because your growing into oneness informs your ministry to those whom God is using you to reach out to and to also draw into that life of oneness. As I said earlier, you become an icon. You become an icon today of what oneness is all about. But that oneness between you also informs your ministry to them, if you will let it. Here's what I mean. You know, let's say, okay, one of the fathers. You're a principled, practical father. Crisis comes up. Your practical mind goes to work. You've got a good, clear picture of what needs to be done here to solve this crisis. You know, it's this principle, this principle, this principle. This is how it's going to. This is how you're going to do it. But what you may not have thought about is, what is going to be the emotional ramifications of that? How's it going to affect how people feel? How people perceive things? And you may not be very aware of that, but I'll tell you what. That passionate-hearted wife that God has paired you with knows. She can tell you. She can help you. And the two of you together looking at the situation come up with a much better picture than you would simply on your own. if you're, again, you're one of those passionate-hearted guys like me, you feel the crisis very deeply. And you know what you want things to feel like. You have a really good idea of what really has to change in that person that you're ministering to for this crisis to be resolved. But how do you go about doing that? Sometimes that's difficult. I mean, if you're like me, you just want to jump in with both feet, just change that person's heart, and you know, it's just going to happen. My dear wife, in moments like that, tells me, Matthew, not everybody is willing to jump without looking like you are. Some people need more practical steps, and she's there to help me with it. And of course, the same thing goes for you, Matsushita, and the decisions and choices you have to make in your dealing with the people that you minister to. Your husband can help you and inform you in making those choices.